confused as to what he was doing here, so I hope you all see the freight train behind me. So congratulations on your appointment to the board.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I wasn't sure when a minister asked me whether whether this is a good thing to do. but I think Praza surprised me.
Okay.
I'm quite honest if I say I wrote the Road to Rail Strategy for South Africa for the Treasury 2-3 years ago, including both freight and passengers. I specialize in freight. And on the passenger side, I saw no hope. I was completely for this is down and out. You know, this is the end. I said to people, Europe was better off after the Second World War because it was bombed out. So they can just rebuild it from scratch. And that's how I felt at that stage. But I was pleasantly surprised. When a minister asked me to join the board, I'm pleasantly surprised about what I've been able to achieve. A lot of hard work has gone into this. Yes, it comes from a very low base. There's really, really very little left to work with. But there's a management team here that's really trying. Hisham is the CEO here. He's really working hard. He's doing his best. And I'm very impressed. Impressed of what they've achieved. In fact, I personally, from my side, I feel they may be reaching too far. I think they must stabilize the ship now, stick with what they've got in terms of the corridors and make it work. But they've achieved quite a bit. And they deserve that recognition.
All right, so slight change of scenery because we were interrupted, but you were telling me that you're quite impressed with the recovery so far. I believe there's been an increase in passenger numbers as well.
Yes, there has been an increase in passenger numbers. It is picking up and it is getting better in many respects. I think there's the few challenges that we have now is just to sustain and the sustainability of this service. It sometimes concerns me because it will need government support. Government sometimes think that it can be paid for by passenger fares, but I heard the minister speak earlier today and this is correct. I mean, the trip that you did today was 9 rand from Fishhook to Cape Town, and I think that's about what it should be. You know, it compares, I've been to Delhi 15 times, and a Delhi metro costs between 2 and 4 rand a ticket. And the whole of Delhi, or the Tashkent metro, beautiful metro, is around 2 rand a ticket. That's what we need to aim for. The idea of a metro service like that is to mobilize our nation, mobilize people, to mobilize our workforce the way that India does it. And you were speaking to me about long-distance transport earlier. The cheapest train ticket between Kolkata and Delhi, which is 1,700 kilometers. The cheapest tickets is 60 rand between those two cities. So it's 1,700 kilometers, 60 rand. That's what we need to aim for, and that is one of the building blocks of the Indian economy, is they made it possible for their people to move, and that really enables things. So I hope it gets there. A lot of challenges ahead. I think the discussion I want with the minister now is, what about Transnet?
Well, that was going to be my discussion, and unfortunately, when we came into the station, that was probably my last question. I had two questions for her. When is Transnet going to the Department of Transport? And two, why is our open access once again delayed? And maybe you can answer the last part.
No, without a doubt. I mean, I'm very deeply involved in this, and I'm following this very closely and speaking to more than one minister about it and many other people. And I'm involved in Operation Vulindlela, one of the four people that coordinated the plan. And I am not happy with the progress made by government there. The people, what government did do, or through the board of Transnet, is appoint great leadership at Transnet. So I am very pleased about that. Michelle Phillips, she's a brilliant CEO. She's doing well. The new CEO of the railway, Russell Wykes, he's a railway man I'll take anywhere in the world and put him in charge of a railway. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
But
agreed.
The damage is so big. And government will have to step in and do a few things. Repair the damage. And I cannot expect the people who suffered with a bad freight railway over the last few years now to also pick up the pieces and pay for the damage. And that's what's going to happen, what I tried to do with the access charge. And Transnet is not publishing a high access charge because it wants to. It's forced to, because there's no other place to get money. Government will have to pick up the tab here and to step in.
So my concern is that if I look at the fees, and you are more than welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, but you're charging for a Ferrari, not necessarily the current state. And then you've got the backlog that's been like, what, 30 years of non-maintenance. So why can't we do a pro rata over a period of time that is subsidized by the government as well, so that we can at least get it going?
Infrastructure, access charge, if it was in perfect condition, should have been 50% of what it is now. It's overcharged, more than double, and it's not in a good condition. And there's lots of reasons for it. It's not current management's fault. You can't fix it. I mean, but it's a very easy comparison. If you take an Interloop that travels from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and you charge exactly the same access charge for that Interloop to use the road, just to use the road, it will have to pay 17,000 rand. That's more or less the fare. That's more or less what you pay for all this stuff. Just the access will be 17,000 rand. If you ask me what does it pay at the moment, it pays about 4,000. Yes. And the 4,000 rand is the toll fees and it is the fuel levy. So it is far too high, and it's because of debt. And the debt is not current management's fault. It is, and there's ways of solving it. The government will have to do two things here. They have to step up as far as this is concerned, and we have to work harder on the restructuring of Transnet. The work that's being done there is not good enough and it's not fast enough. So we have good people in charge, but they're not getting help. No assistance whatsoever. The road to rail strategy fails there.
So my biggest concern is that I see that it's been delayed for, I think, the second or third time now. So that's the first like red flag for me. The second red flag is that we were under the impression that there would be open access for those who were ready. As from the 1st of April, I see that that's also been changed, that there will be no private operator access, even if they're ready, to access the network until after the final call for comment, and then it's going to take another 3 months. So we're not going to see it this year.
I can give you bad news, own prediction.
Yes.
My own prediction. I don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
My only owe is I am on the board of Prazo.
Okay.
Nobody pays me for anything on the Transnet side. It's going to be delayed again because the network statement as it is does not make sense.
Yes.
So it's not possible to restructuring of Transnet and open access is not possible. This is the problem. Before we have a plan to fix the network, before we have a plan with Transnet's debt, before we've restructured Transnet properly. So just issuing a network statement, which in all fairness, Transnet was forced to do.
Yes.
It was one, they want to, but they were not ready. And it was one of the treasury conditions.
Yeah.
So they were forced to, and they only made that date on the second. Like, I think a day or two before it was supposed to be published, they published it. But they were not ready because there's too many unanswered questions. Now, how do you publish? A network statement is like a brochure.
Mm.
It's like a sales brochure. You know, that's my sales brochure, you can come and buy. How do you issue a sales brochure for something that's completely broken?
Yeah.
And nobody has decided yet who's going to pay to fix it. But you have to sell it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. There's work that needs to be done.
Professor, I have one more question before it gets really, really noisy as a result of the only time they seem to have had a microphone. You're now on the board of PRASA. This particular contract for the Extrapolis Mega Train EMUs, I mean, it's fabulous, but it is extremely delayed in producing what it was supposed to produce in terms of the time frame. What are the implications of that you know of? And then I've also heard, like, whilst we've got 31 corridors of the 40 now up and running and we're at peak production at a Gambela site, that there's thinking to reduce that production of the number of trains that they receive per month, which in itself has massive implications. As a member of the board of PRASA, what are your thoughts on how this is going to kind of end?
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is I've not discussed with the chair of PRASA or with the minister what I'm allowed to say on behalf of the board.
Okay.
So what I can give you is my own personal view about this. My personal view about this, I'm quite sure what happened here, there's a cut in the subsidy that comes from government to PRASA. So that subsidy has now been cut, exactly how much, but it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
And because of that cut in subsidy, that's why production will have to be delayed. But sad for me, to produce your own trains is actually magnificent. For a country of South Africa's stature, this is batting far, far, far beyond our, or what is it, boxing behind, above our weight limit. You know, we're really doing well. It's actually fantastic to produce trains like this in South Africa. What we have achieved there, I mean, South Africa also is batting above its average in terms of car manufacturing. Mm. So we've got quite a good, strong, established OEMs in South Africa.
Yeah.
I never thought that we will do that with trains. So achieving that with trains is fantastic. I don't think we should cut back on subsidies here. In fact, we should try and get to a point where we can export trains. If we become a country in Africa that exports trains to the rest of Africa, that would really, really put us on the map. Mm. So I hope some sanity will prevail and we will speed up production. And we will do our best to actually get to a point where we make more trains rather than less, but more in sense of may try to export.
Yeah.
Export to the rest of Africa.
So I'm absolutely in agreement with the export to South Africa. I think one must also keep in mind that, you know, this technology, as fantastic as it is also old. And there are newer trains, but Gabela is actually kitted and fitted to move to that next level. I think my biggest challenge right now is if they cut production, we're going to also cut the supply chain that is quite volatile. We're going to cut jobs, because if you're not producing the volume required, we don't need those people. So that has other implications.
Speaking on behalf of myself, and not Praza.
Not Praza.
Cutting production here will be one of the most stupid things we'll ever do as a country. It will be critically, unimaginably stupid.
Yes.
We have the production line going. As you say, we have got the upstream supply chain going.
Done,
These are hugely valuable supply chain. A supply chain that produces cars is really valuable, and that has helped South Africa. Our motor industry is really good. A supply chain that produces trains, it is such a jewel and a crown of a country, for an emerging economy. To cut that will be absolutely just unimaginable tragic. I cannot believe that anybody would consider that. I cannot believe that it's actually even talked about. I would just run away when I hear it. I mean, these things work.
They do.
We make them here in South Africa.
We do.
How on earth can we consider not cutting that? It's just not, makes no sense.
Well, thank you for the not on behalf of person comments. And again, congratulations on your appointment to the board.
Thank you.